You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time to hear from the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
Last week, following weather warnings and torrential rain, slips across the Coromandel and the Bay of Plenty wreaked havoc, cutting off communities, damaging houses, and worst of all, taking lives. At the base of Mauo, Mount Maunganui, a slip hit a council-owned campsite, claiming six lives, and now eyes are turning towards how a tragedy like this can be prevented in future. Prime Minister Christopher Luxon was among the world leaders offered membership on Trump's post-conflict government body in Gaza, the Board of Peace. The board has received scathing criticism for including people under investigation for war crimes and failing to have a representative voice for the Palestinian people. Luxon has, in turn, received criticism for not ruling out the invitation. Finally, the New Zealand Defence Force has begun to incorporate uncrewed vehicles and drones as it moves into a new era of increased defence spending. For our weekly catch-up with the Green Party, I spoke with MP Ricardo Menendez March about Luxon's refusal to rule out joining Trump's Board of Peace and the New Zealand Defence Force's incorporation of drones, but began with asking him about the fatal slip in Tauranga. Kia ora, Ricardo.
Kia ora. Thanks for having me.
I want to start us off today by talking about the slip at Mauo, the Mount Maunganui campsite, and how we apportion blame or accountability following a crisis like this. There has been a lot of fingers being pointed. There's the Tauranga City Council, who the campsite is owned by. There was reports going towards police in the hours beforehand. What do you feel should be done in the wake?
Look, first of all, I just want to acknowledge the loss of life that happened at Maunganui. And the reality is that we've got families that are still reeling and need aroha and support wrapped around them. But as many have pointed out on the ground, there does need to be a level of accountability. And this is why we have supported the calls for an inquiry that the government could also take part of and lead with the resources that the government has. But I think what this also underlines is the fact that these slips, floods, extreme weather events are no longer a rare 100-year occurrences in communities. We're seeing communities that are affected by extreme weather events regularly. And that means that all of us in Parliament also need to be accountable for what we are doing to adapt to these changes in weather patterns and to ensure that communities have the resilience and the resources so that when extreme weather events hit our communities, they are prepared to deal with the consequences of them rather than just simply commemorating and acknowledging the loss of life after not doing enough.
Do you feel like there has been enough leadership from central government at this time of mourning?
No, I think the government could do more to better support communities on the ground. For example, one of the things that I have yet to be seen activated is the civil defence payment. We know that as a result of these weather events, countless of families were left without homes and lost their belongings. And that payment is one of the few avenues that exist for people to recoup some of the losses that they've experienced. And it's something that I helped deliver to communities on the ground when we were affected by the Auckland floods in 2023. So far more needs to be done. And that doesn't even touch on the realities that we need to do more climate mitigation and reducing our emissions, investing in clean energy, as well as do more on the climate adaptation front. That means building cities and towns that can sponge up flooding events, for example.
If central government does not adequately deal with climate mitigation and preparation for these sort of events, do you feel like they should hold some amount of culpability when people lose their lives or lose their property?
We are all responsible, no matter our parties, for what we choose to do in terms of climate action for future generations to come. And climate change is a cost of living issue, right? When we have these extreme weather events, it's the loss of life, it's the loss of belongings, it's the loss of livelihoods. And this is why governments absolutely need to have a look at themselves and ask themselves whether they're doing enough to mitigate emissions. But for example, to ensure that we're adequately resourcing our first responders, firefighters who constantly tell us that, for example, they're experiencing old equipment and unsafe working conditions. And this is why we've long fought for more action on climate change, but also to tackle inequality, because ultimately it is the poorest families that are most affected by extreme weather events.
And on the topic of fire and emergency first responders, with the slip that took six lives in Tauranga, Fire and Emergency New Zealand did warn local council, the owners of the site, in the hours before the slip. There was nothing done, as far as we know yet, with that information to save lives. Do you think that suggests a problem with the system?
I think this is why an inquiry will be helpful, to get a good sense of actually where the communication channels properly broke down and who needs to be held accountable for that. And this is why we've thrown our support for the calls for an inquiry with central government resources, so that we can get to the bottom of where those failures were at the time. But ultimately, again, the more we can resource our first responders who help us deal with extreme weather events, and to ensure we actually invest in tackling climate change and creating cities and towns that can sponge up flooding events, the better we'll be prepared to prevent further losses of life going forward.
I'd like to move on now to get your response on Prime Minister Christopher Luxon refusing to rule out joining Trump's Gaza Board of Peace, which is his plan in the context of a post-war Gaza Strip. What is your first reaction to the refusal to rule it out?
It tells me that the Prime Minister has no respect for the sovereignty of Palestinians. And this so-called Board of Peace, all that it is achieving is American control of Gaza. It does not devolve power and resources to Palestinians. And this is why we called out the Prime Minister and demanded that he actively refuses to join the Board of Peace, and that actually that New Zealand takes a genuine role in peace building, not an empire building, which is what this Board of Peace actually is seeking to achieve. It's not genuinely working towards peace. It's simply working towards American control of resources and dominance on geopolitics. And at a time where we are seeing the U.S. literally killing its own citizens, I think we should all be cautious of treating these moves by the U.S. in good faith, as though they are working genuinely towards peace as opposed to control.
As we enter a domineering time of U.S. foreign policy, which becomes more overtly willing to use power to coerce people into behaving how they want to, do you feel like there is a justification in Luxon's move if he is afraid that Trump would retaliate against the New Zealand economy or something along those lines?
If we all just start acting out of fear and caving to American interests, the U.S. will absolutely take a mile if we give them an inch. And this is why we need to be a country that stands on its own and builds relationships with other countries on the basis of a rules-based order that respects peace, that respects countries' sovereignty, that respects human rights, as opposed to what the United States is doing, which is just simply using a force effectively to get what it wants. And often, for many countries, that is simply getting its resources. And, you know, they will go at quite some length to even ensure that they can get those resources, including kidnapping leaders of countries.
And on that note, I'd like to move to our final topic. The Ministry of Defence has been beginning their incorporation of drones. I'd love to know your perspective on this.
We have a role to play in making sure that, for example, we invest in equipment that can monitor marine exploitation, making sure that fishing companies, for example, are not acting illegally in our oceans. That's a role that we can play to make sure that we can have a sustainable economy and a thriving ocean at the same time. What we are doing, though, when it comes to the investment and a lot of defense, is towards basically military equipment. And a lot of this has come off the back of the United States pressuring us to invest in our defense force. I think the most troubling thing about all of this is that we've got a government that tells us that there is no money to address things like child poverty and homelessness and our lack of public transport and lack of public housing. But then on the other side, they turn around and tell us there are $12 billion lying around for military equipment. They tell us that there's $3 billion for landlords. And that tells me that we've got a government that has its priorities upside down and would rather invest in military equipment rather than its own people.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March on the fatal slip in Tauranga, Luxon's refusal to rule out joining Trump's Board of Peace and the New Zealand Defence Force's incorporation of drones.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.